This morning, I have on my heart to share with you on a topic of the unexpected journey. In our lives, we can make a lot of plans. We can plan ahead, and at times, more often than others, there's an unexpected journey that we find ourselves on that we did not plan, and often we don't even like it, but we find ourselves there. And that's the reality of that. Do you know that even the disciples of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ, life took an unexpected turn, and Jesus reminded them that they can overcome those challenges, seasons in their life, with the hope that he is offering to them to overcome all the obstacles that they will face. As believers, whatever what we face, it's not by accident, and it's not that God is not aware of what we will face in life. God is aware of everything. He's an all-knowing God. He knows it all. But I want to remind you this morning that he's always there to walk in step with us, because his word promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. Even when we feel alone, that's our feeling, but it's not the reality. Because God cannot deny himself. If we are born again believers, he lives inside of our hearts. And in moment of trouble, in a moment where we feel attacked or alone, he doesn't say, well, I'm bouncing for a few minutes out of here. I let them bounce by themselves. No, but he says, child, daughter, son, I love you with everlasting love. And I will not leave you even in the hardest moments of your life. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 16 and down, if you can open up with me the word of God. The book of John, chapter 16, verse 16 and down, and Jesus is reminding his disciples that there will be moments in their life that they will feel sad. There will be moments in their life that disappointment will be their portion. But he also reminded them that joy can be part of their life as well. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 16 and down says this, in a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that, you will see me again. The disciples were like, huh? We read the story and we're like, well, we kind of know what happened, and that's why we're embracing this passage and there is nothing to it. But can you imagine for the first time, the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, they're hearing this words of Jesus. Listen, for a little while, you're not gonna see me anymore, and then in a little while, you will see me again. It's almost like a riddle. Verse 17, some of the disciples asked each other, and I'm wondering, why didn't they ask Jesus? Often in our life, when we're going through different seasons at our heart, we ask each other, instead of saying, Jesus, I come to you and ask you directly, because you have allowed me and you have given me the right to come into your presence at any moment in my life. We can relate with these disciples. What does he mean when he says, in a little while, you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I am going to the Father? And what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand. And often in our lives, the seasons that we are going through, or God is preparing our hearts to go through, we come to a conclusion and we say the same statement. We don't understand. God, what are you trying to do in my life? We don't understand what is happening today, and we don't understand where are you leading us tomorrow. Verse 19, I love this. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. You see, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him about it, but they're not asking him about it. Isn't it strange? They're talking among themselves, they're thinking in their hearts. And the very person that they're talking about and the very person that they're concerned about is Jesus, and they're not asking him a question. But Jesus, I love that about him, that he knows everything. Even before a thought comes on our mind, God already knows it. Even before we were born, He knew us by name. Even if you don't like your name, and you might blame your parents that they gave you this name, it's not by accident. God already knew it. And He knew not only your name, but every fiber of your being. Praise be to God. Jesus realized, or he foreknew, they wanted to ask Him about it. So He said, "Are you asking yourselves what I mean? I said, in a little while, you won't see me, but in a little while after that, you will see me again. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. But the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy." Hallelujah. Jesus is perceiving, and all-knowing God sees what His disciples are going through in their hearts. The fear, the questions, the unknown things that are about to happen. And He says, there will come a season in your life that you will weep. There will be season in your life that you will go through hard moments and seasons in your life. There will come moments where the enemy is gonna attack you. And in those moments, the world will say, "Where is your God?" The world will say, "Where is your hope? I thought you're a believer. I thought you're a Christian. I thought you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ." You will have people when your faith will be tested, when you will go through challenging moments in your life, when we will deal with different sicknesses and we will deal with different obstacles in our life in this journey. There will be people that will say, "Where is your God?" And He says, in those moments, you will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. I love that. It's gonna be a sudden moment when the Holy Spirit will come and visit us and say, "Enough is enough." And that grieving and those tears will turn into joy. Hallelujah. And not just joy, but our wonderful joy. I love that. A wonderful joy, because mourning might endure for a moment, but joy, say with me, joy, with confidence one more time, joy. But joy comes in a mourning. In different words, whatever season me and you are going through, there is hope for wonderful joy to be part of our life. So that's the word of God that encourages us to know that those moments are only seasonal moments. But joy can follow us every day of our lives. And doesn't matter what happens, joy is our portion. Praise be to God. Verse 21. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy, because she has brought a new baby or a new life into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. Let me add this way. Nothing can rob us of the joy of Jesus Christ in our lives when we face tribulations, tests, hardships. Nothing can separate us from that love of Jesus Christ that is complete and perfect, overwhelming and unconditional. Hallelujah. No one can rob you of that joy. I remember stories that my grandfather would share, that looking from the outside, they had every reason to be sad and give hope. Give up on hope. He was in prison for faith in his 20s, but he never gave up on the Lord. And that joy was part of his life, even in prison. When the disciples of Jesus Christ, Silas and Paul, they were in prison, it seems like, "Paul and Silas, you have every reason to be bummed out right now. You have every reason to sing songs that only can be sung at a funeral. because your life is pretty much over. But what did they do? They began to sing praises. They began to sing psalms to the Lord and worship Him, even in chains. And it came a moment that they were delivered. Joy, it's unconditional from the things that we face in life. It's given by the Lord to us as believers and a right to us. And only if we can understand this, then we will live a life pleasing the Lord and living in victory. Verse 23, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Again, He talks about that even in our prayers, when we come to the Lord, it's a promise from the Lord that we will have abundant joy when God answers and hears our prayers. I have spoken to these matters in figurative of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively. Don't you love that? Do you have friends or people around you that they speak in figurative speech? I have some of those in my family members, and at times I use that gift with my family, and my wife loves it. I'm speaking figuratively. But don't you love when the Word of God just speaks for what it is? And this is the journey of the disciples. They don't have to guess anymore. And they said that by soon, Jesus saying, I'm not going to speak to you figuratively, but I'm going to stop speaking to you figuratively and will tell you plainly, hallelujah, all about the Father. Jesus is talking to me and to you this morning plainly. Let me put it this way, in a plain English with a Slavic accent. He speaks to us plainly. And often we take this word and because we have a hard time putting the Word of God into practice to what we are going through, we think, God, are you really with me in this moment? What are you really saying? It seems like your word is like a riddle to me right now, and I can't guess it. But when we come to Him through the power of the Holy Spirit, He says, after the cross, I'm going to communicate with you directly through the power of the Holy Spirit. There will be no puzzles for you to figure out. And no, you come in prayer. And God speaks to us through His Word. His Word never changes. It's always the same. And He's telling them that I will speak to you plainly. No longer I'll be speaking to you in figurative of speech. And this morning God is speaking that He is with you. You're not alone, but He's with you in your trials. He's with you in your pain. He's with you in your sickness. He's with you. And He will carry you through. And me, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. In different words, I'm opening up an access straight to the Father. You don't need to go to a pastor now. You don't need to go to a priest. You don't need to climb on the steps of Rome. You don't need to do none of that, but directly you can come to the Father and say, in Jesus' name, I'm coming to your throne. And He hears you and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Father Himself loves you dearly because you loved me and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then His disciples said, at least you are speaking plainly and not in figuratively speech. What kind of answer is that? Jesus is opening up to them a secret of the cross. He's opening up to them a mystery. What about is to happen? And their response is, well, thank you very much. At least you're speaking to us plainly, and that's enough for us to understand for now. Verse 30. Now we understand that you know everything, and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. in different words, coming to a conclusion to say, God, you know everything. You know the seasons that I'm living in. You know when I get up, like David says. You know when I'm going to bed. You know when I'm crying. And you know when I'm putting a smile on my face, but there is hurt inside of my heart. The disciples came to this conclusion and says, we're convinced it's you. You're the Son of God. And we're convinced that you know everything. I have no question about that. From this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? Verse 32. But the time is coming. You see, some would think that, oh, Jesus would probably just encourage them and tell them that part of your life is gonna be health, wealth, and all the above. But right away, when this revelation comes of who Jesus is and the cross, he says to them, but the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way. In different words, that you will face seasons in your life, that all what you wanna do, it's not follow me, but leave and be alone, be scattered out of fear. Because the idea of what a Christian life is, the idea of what it means to follow Jesus Christ does not line up with your story. God, why did you allow this in my life? Why am I going through this? Why is this challenge part of my life? And sometimes the circumstances that we face in our life can cause us for a moment to be scattered, each going in our own way. And Jesus is telling them that, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Hallelujah. But let me put it this way. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now you are not alone because He is with you always. Even when you face challenges and you feel like you're alone, He says, even if everybody will forsake you, even to the point of your own parents will forsake you, your own mother that gave you birth will forsake you, I will never forsake you. And that's the word of God, because I'm not gonna leave you nor forsake you, because you belong to me. I have adopted you, I have bought you with a price, and you belong to me. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And verse 33, he concludes this story by saying this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. In different words, everything that he just shared, it was for a reason, and one reason alone, that through the circumstances you're about to face, that you will have peace in me, that you will not think that I have fooled you somehow, that you will not come to this conclusion that I am against you. But you will face moments in life that you will be scattered, you will doubt me, you will run away. But in the end of the day, there is one thing, there is one anchor that can hold me and you in this journey. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That you will have peace in me. Here on earth, you will, not maybe, not if you behave, you're gonna avoid it. But no, he says you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. In different words, he's saying, you will go through these journeys and nothing might change in your life. But one mindset me and you should have as believers, Jesus has overcome the world. And because of that, we have peace and hope in him through every season of our life. As believers, we live this life by faith, trusting the word of God and its promises. It is important to understand that we are on the journey that is accompanied by challenges and that we did not pursue after. You might think, man, I never asked for these things to be part of my life. But they come unannounced. Unannounced. Sometimes a knock on a door in the middle of the night when you're asleep. Unannounced. When you have a follow-up doctor's appointment and news come into your family unannounced. We don't plan for circumstances. We don't plan for things to come against us. They are coming unannounced. But as believers, we are anchored in Jesus Christ. That those moments, even they might come by surprise to us, it does not catch Jesus Christ by surprise. But He is all-knowing God, and the peace of God is with us. Our confidence and hope is in the fact that Jesus has overcome the world. And just in that fact, we can have the ability to rejoice in every season of our life and be filled with the peace of God. Be filled with the peace of God. As someone once said, you must be confident that when our journey ends, we will be calm. But until then, we must overcome. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. As someone once said, we must be confident that when our journey ends, we will be calm. But until then, we must overcome every circumstance that we face in our life. We will experience difficult moments in our life, but only if we can learn that those moments can help us grow. As a result, we will endure with hope. If we can take moments in our life and say, I'm gonna grow to these moments. The enemy is trying to be after me, to take me down, but I am gonna get stronger through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's gonna help me. And in the face of the enemy, I'm gonna follow Christ. We will endure because we know that there is hope. That's the whole purpose. There is hope. And because of that fact, we can and shall be the overcomers. Hallelujah. If you can open up the Word of God with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and down says this. The book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What a powerful scripture that talks about the hope that we have in Him. Let's start from the beginning again of chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified, you see, everything is in the context that he's talking about. Can you imagine if Apostle Paul says, well, you'll just have tribulations and all of these things, and God is going to work things in your life? No, but before then, he wants to assure us of who we are in Jesus Christ. And he reminds us of the hope that we have. And in that context, he says that you will go through seasons in your life that are going to be challenging. But because of who you are in Christ, there is hope. There is hope. So chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified. What does it mean to be justified? On the cross, Jesus Christ took the penalty of sin, of our sin. He took it upon themselves and declared us innocent. He declared us holy. The righteousness of God is imputed to me and to you. We have not deserved it. We have not worked for it. But it's given to me and for you by faith. Hallelujah. And this is the pillar that we need to understand in our Christian walk, that there is nothing that we can do to please the Lord. And yet at the same time, we live in this world that is filled with sin, and at times we will struggle, but through the struggles we become more like Him, and less the struggles are behind us, and more we're being transformed into His image. One of the ways I've heard somebody share this, how can we remember the word justify and what it means? And I thought it's brilliant the way he put it up. But this pastor said this way, if you can remember what the word justified means, it's in the same word, just break it off. Just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. Justified, just if I've never sinned. Jesus Christ has imputed to us his righteousness. And from now on, I hope you remember, justified means just if I never sinned. Hallelujah. What a gift. What a hope we have. That he looks at me and you, and he calls me and you holy. People that he has chosen to serve him. Not perfect, but he is perfect. And he says, now you're holy and I am pleased with you. You've been justified. And I find no fault in you, no sin in you. And then he continues, how do we receive that and we know that we're justified? It's by faith. And what is the result of that? We have peace with God. No longer we're his enemies. We're not in enmity with God. But the peace of God, that doesn't matter how we feel. He says, I am not against you, but there is peace between me and you. Hallelujah. And based on that peace and justification and faith, he goes through and says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in what? What do we rejoice in? In the circumstances that we face? No, we rejoice in the hope that we have and that affects our circumstances that we face. Hallelujah. And he says, by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. By understanding the hope that we have in him, it gives us courage today to face the tribulations and says, because of that, not only in the glory you can rejoice, but also you can rejoice in the tribulations, knowing that in tribulations, it produces something. It can produce envy. It can produce a bitter heart. It can produce a sick heart. But it also can produce perseverance. It also can produce growth in us. And that's what he's saying. It produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. I love that. The hope of Jesus Christ does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a hope we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That we are justified like we have never sinned. Because he has loved us with everlasting love. And we can face the journey that is ahead of us. Because of the hope that we have in him. Amen. As the worship team comes in my closing, we're called to rejoice in suffering, not because we like pain. I think it would be weird if you come to me and it's like, man, I'm suffering and I love it. Like, man, I'm doing a little dance around, man, everything is in pain, but I love it. I'm like married to pain. What does it mean to rejoice in suffering? It's knowing that you're not alone and that Jesus is with me and with you. We're called to rejoice in suffering, not because we like pain or enjoy it, but because we know that God will use those seasons in our life to produce, say with me, produce, to produce something in us that is good and lasting work, not temporary. We are here on this earth temporary, but Jesus Christ is allowing things in our life to produce something that can come good part of our lives can become something good and also lasting. As believers, the problems we go through in life will develop in us perseverance, which in turn will strengthen our character, deepen our trust in God, give us greater confidence about the future. And that's what Romans 5 talks about. It's important to understand that what we're going through in life is an opportunity for us to grow. Every time we face challenges and we face pain and we face hardships, we face problems, we can say, God, I don't know how I'll do it. I don't know. I'm weak. I can't. It seems like I'm failing every time something I'm facing that is beyond me. But I want to use this as an opportunity for me to grow in you and deepen my walk with you. As in verse 3 of Romans chapter 5, the people of God rejoice not only in future glory, but in present trials. That's the difference. When everything is well, we rejoice in the future glory. But as people of God, as born-again believers, we have the ability not only to rejoice in future glory, but in present trials and sufferings. Not because trials are pleasant, but because they produce a step-by-step transformation that makes believers more like Christ. And I've noticed that in my life, the trials, pain, suffering. And I'm not here as a young pastor to tell you that I know exactly what all of these things mean. I only know a small, tiny bit, because I know that so many people are suffering with great sufferings. I talk with people that are in pain constantly. I talk with people that are going through chemos. I talk with people that are facing sufferings. And not only bodily sufferings, but also ridicule from this world. Persecution that can result in a form of suffering as well. And I always approach this, that my suffering in comparison to someone else's, it's nothing. It's nothing. And that's why we can say, God, teach me in these circumstances to understand what are you trying to do in my life. And what he will do is he will strip from us some of the things that are not supposed to be glued to us. And all of a sudden, our focus will come a little bit nearer to the things that are important. The relationship with God, family, and close people around you in the body of Christ. Let me read this again. The people of God rejoice not only in future glory, but in present trials and sufferings. Not because trials are pleasant, but because they produce. The trials produce a step-by-step transformation that makes believers more like Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 16, verse 7 says this, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure or you must endure many trials for a little while. For how long? Let's speak with confidence. For how long? Meaning they're temporarily. This is one of the things we need to understand, that the trials are temporarily in our lives. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. You see, this is another purpose. It tests me and you of our faith. And will encourage us in the trials and encourages me that my faith in the Lord is genuine. It's genuine. And you'll say, well, Peter, what about you? How was your faith when you ran like a chicken? right? You denied Christ and you said you don't know him. And so many of us can focus just on that, but what was the end of his story? It showed that deep inside, his faith was still anchored in Jesus Christ. Even for a moment when he said, I don't know him, even for a moment when he fell, even for a moment when he said, I don't know him, maybe he really did not know him because he expected Jesus maybe to take Rome by force and to deliver the Israel nation from the Roman Empire. And now the idea of who Jesus is no longer aligns with his ideology, but he's going to the cross and he says, I don't know this Jesus. I know the Jesus I hung out with. I know the Jesus that I created in my head, that we will take everything by force. But I don't know a Jesus that will go through suffering. I don't know that Jesus. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter comes to the shore and finds Jesus cooking for him and asking him, do you love me? And you see, even in moments of the lowest moments of our life, Jesus is not mad at us that we failed him in challenging moments, in suffering, or in the moments of pressure that we feel like we gave up. But Peter became one of the greatest apostles. That whenever when he was crucified, history teaches us, he says, I'm not worthy to die like Christ died. Turn me upside down on that cross. You see, there is hope. There is hope in this faith that through testings, deep inside, you have hope. You have faith in you. And that's what matters. The trials in our life that we face as a family, as children, as marriages, as relationships are going on, all of these things will bring us in evidence that deep inside, when everything is shaken and everything is left around us, deep inside, there's this anchor of hope that holds this big ship, Titanic. Hallelujah. 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 It is Christ and Christ alone. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests to purify gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Oh, if you think about how much the gold has to go through fire to be purified, he says, but your faith is so much more precious than that. So when your faith remains, say with me, remains strong through many trials, some or one. Through many trials. My brother, my sister, it's almost like when we become born again believers, we need to sign up. Trials awaits me. As Apostle Paul says, when I'm gonna go and preach the gospel in this city, chains awaits me. And other disciples told him, no, don't go there. We're gonna talk you out of it. And he says, no, do you think you have a better plan for me than the Lord? I'm gonna follow what God has for me. And that's why he says, I'm willing to go even when I know that the trials and chains are awaiting for me. Because God is with me. God is for me. And even if I die for Christ, and I know that I'm saying these words, and they're sobering words, but that's the confidence that me and you as believers need to have. That even if I need to die for Christ, our faith is unwavering because he has loved me with everlasting love. And I'm not gonna follow him only when he calls me and everything is perfect in my life. But I'm gonna follow him even when I know the chains might await me. That's the decision that me and you have to make in our life. And that's why when trials might come against us, we fall apart. Because we thought we're following this Jesus, that everything is going to be just perfect in our life. No, we're on a journey to perfection. But till then, we're going to be transformed to be more and more into his image. Hallelujah. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. In different words, when Jesus Christ comes, you will be praised that you have finished the race well. You will be praised. There will be angels. God himself will be proud of you. God himself will praise you for the well done job.
Not because you did not fail, not because you did not give up at times, but because you got up and followed Jesus, even when it was not easy. There's a man in the Bible that said these words, "I had only heard about you before," about God meaning, "but now I have seen you with my own eyes." And the circumstances he is talking about, this man is Job. He did not share these things when everything was well in his life, but he shared these things when suffering and trouble was part of his journey. The man was Job. He was a righteous man who experienced immense suffering and loss. In that moment, instead of saying, "I'm gonna give up and I'm gonna run," he says, "No, the circumstances in my life have brought me to one conclusion. And this conclusion is this: I had only heard about God before, but the sufferings that I'm going through and the trials that I'm going through caused me to see Him, to see Him." Oh, what a truth that is. That me and you, whatever what we face in life, they will cause us to see Jesus. They will cause us to get to know Him in a deeper way, in a more intimate way. They will cause us for our conversations to be about Him. They will cause us to leap into His arms and to say, "I have heard what you can do, but now you're doing this in my life and now I see you. I see you." Hallelujah. Trials and suffering in his life produce a clear vision to see God in a way that before he only heard of. But now that he went through, it produced something in him, the ability to see that God is good, just, merciful, and loving. Oh, that's the journey of Job. And if he can come to the conclusion, how much more me and you can say, "By the grace of God, I want my story to end this way." Just like Job's story brings hope to us and encourages us, let us not forget that our stories are not only for us, but are also for other people. As this morning we're being encouraged about Job, you see, it was the story of Job, but it's also a story for us. Your story, it's not just fully about you, but it's also about somebody else. A thought came to me a few days ago as I've been thinking about this passage that Jesus himself says, these words, "This is my body, which is broken for whom? For you. What I'm going through, it's for you." In our life sometimes, the thing that we face, let the mindset be that it's not just my story, but it's for somebody else. For somebody else to be encouraged and for somebody else to be blessed. As I said before, the trials and the pain at times I'm going through, whatever what I'm facing, when I hear other stories, what they're going through, it's nothing and it encourages me to go on. Hallelujah. Another passage, when Jesus was going through agony and pain in Gethsemane, and before then he was praying, "Father, I pray, should you save me from this hour?" This was his prayer. "What should I do? I'm about to go to the cross. Should I ask you to save me from this hour?" Because he had everything at his disposal to do just that. But he says, "No, but for this very hour you have called me. And one condition, I'm asking you to do something in my life. Glorify your name. Glorify your name." And this is the perspective that we can face. God, whatever what I'm facing in my life, you have allowed me to go through this. And for this very hour, I'm living for. You're not an unknowing God. Yes, sometimes I made bad decisions. I face myself in the circumstances where I face. But you can bring redemption. I can live with the consequences by the grace of God. But one thing I'm asking you now, to turn this around and glorify your name. Hallelujah. Glorify your name. As I've shared before with many of you. And thank you for your prayers for my brother, but he's been battling cancer now for about 2 years, and he went through rounds of chemo and they cleared him. Everything was good. And 3 months later, next thing you know, he came very aggressively, and his liver, it's filled with cancer. A few days ago, I've been on the phone with him, even last night, been on the phone with him, trying to just talk and encourage and ask, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And one of the things, you know what he says, if we live for Christ. And if we die, we die in Christ. Yes, he has small kids. Yes, he's only 48 years old. But through the trials, there is also a season that God did so much work in his life. And not only in his life, but in our entire family. I was with my oldest brother the other day on the phone, and my second oldest brother, and I've been telling them the same thing. God is doing something in our family. Yes, we want him to be healed, and that's what we're praying for. But let us not miss what is God doing in our family. Bringing us closer to him. Speaking to us about our lifestyles. If there's anything that needs to fall off the wagon, if I can put it that way. And that's sometimes the way we think, or this is the way we think when trials come our way. When everything is perfectly fine, we want more. We want more of everything that is around us. But God allows circumstances in our life for the things to fall off a little bit of the wagon that we have put on that doesn't need to be there, that distracts us. And then he says, I am the one that you need. And there's fulfillment in me. And when I am at the core and the foundation of your life, whatever happens, fear has no power. But hope is a pillar that we stand on. And that's why, with Apostle Paul in the book of Romans and other passages, the hope that we have in him can give us joy. And this joy is not a fuzzy feeling joy and we're walking like weird people, like, you know, everything is wrong in our lives and we're kind of like smiling and giggling. No. It's the joy that we're confident that our standing with the Lord does not change. We're just, if I never sinned. He's not mad at me. He's not against me. But he loves me with everlasting love. And in that, I have confidence. And because of that, I have hope. And because of that hope, I'm enduring through the trials and sufferings. Because through this, I'm becoming more like him. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the word of God that promises us life. And life in abundance through every season of our life. Can we stand together? If this message spoke to you, I would like to invite you to come here to the front. And during this song, we're also going to have the elders here up front to my left and to my right. And if you would like to talk with someone and ask for a specific prayer, you may do so. But if you would like to just kneel down and it's you and the Lord, you might do that as well. And you talk with him. You know what you're going through and he knows what you're going through. And I thank the Lord that he speaks to us. And I thank the Lord that our hearts are open to respond, to say, God, you never change. My circumstances will change. This body will change. The world will change, but you never change. And because of that, I have hope not only of what is about to happen after, but also during my life. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I've shared your word, and I believe this is what you have put on my heart, and you know what your children are going through. And I pray now that you would speak to them, and you answer the cry of their hearts and encourage them. I also lift up my brother right now to you, that you'll encourage him and lift him up. God, I want to thank you that you have done such a deep work in his life, in his family, in our entire family. You have also done a deep work in my heart through the circumstances. This deep knowledge of confidence that you're still in control, that you love us and our circumstances. It's not because you punish us, but it's because we live in a sinful world that still has influence on people. But we look forward to that day when we will be with you, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, but forever we'll be rejoicing with you. God, but as of now on this journey, on this earth, would you help him and help all of us, our Father, to walk in this confidence. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Jesus, thank you that you know us. We're not strangers to you. You know us. And just in that fact, our hearts are filled with joy. Thank you that you have justified us. Thank you that you have forgiven us. And thank you for the hope that we have here and after. And this hope is grounded in you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.